special payment, the first initial payment, or an extra payment for those costs, I mean, amounting to about $15 million, as I recall. I may be off a little bit, but anyway. Did you have any other comments on the bill generally, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I think the other testifiers pretty much covered some of the comments I had. We certainly support the concept that's embodied in Section 1, and that is trying to provide even more incentive for consumers who wouldn't otherwise bring some of these types of small lawsuits against businesses. And in response to the testimony from the Chamber of Commerce, so this would also cut both ways. I would think small businesses could take advantage of this rule if they were being victimized by larger businesses. Small businesses are oftentimes the subject of predatory action by other companies, and they get scammed just like other people do. So there's sort of a two-way street that goes on there. But primarily, we do support Section 2 in that there is no provision under the current statute that allows the Attorney General to recover its full fees. And in a lot of bigger multi-state cases that I get involved in, that could be an important settlement tool for us. There are examples that I can give you of times where we have entered into settlements with large national companies, pharmaceutical companies, tobacco companies, what have you, and we are not as favorable as other states in that we can't make a claim for our full attorney fee. And so sometimes in those negotiations, we take a lesser amount than other states take who have provisions that allow for the government or the Attorney General's office to recover those fees. That would really help in some of those cases. But otherwise, it really brings us in line with a lot of other federal and state laws across the country that allow for the recovery of those fees if you are successful. It only applies if you do prevail. But otherwise, though, we do support the bill, and thank you for your time. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And I know there were some questions earlier about whether we could cite to specific examples of consumers who did not bring a lawsuit because of the fear of pain. The other side's attorney fees, and I think Mr. Guerra has some of those examples. I can tell you that in our office, we do not keep track of that kind of information, that we know that a lot of consumers come to us because they can't afford a lawyer, and I would think Section 1 would perhaps give those folks who can't afford a lawyer an opportunity to perhaps, you know, use the small court system, the small claim system, to maybe bring their claims without fear of getting, some high-priced lawyer for some business to rack up a bunch of fees and make them responsible for it if they do lose. And I know Mr. Garrett mentioned this earlier, but the reason that this really came up is that last November at our Consumer Protection Conference, we heard from several members of the audience, some of whom were attorneys, that one of the impediments to consumers bringing these kinds of actions on their own, even though there are current incentives to do so, was this attorney fees issue. So other than information we have learned through that conference, we don't have any specific examples, but I think Mr. Kahn and Mr. Garrett both might. Thank you.
One more follow-up, Mr. Stephan. So your suggestion is that many times when the Attorney General participates with other states in certain other, particularly class action type, other lawsuits, that those awards for fees in those cases could be considered under this bill then?
Well, it just gives us a little more authority when we negotiate with these folks. When we have settlement negotiations, we go through different state statutes and say, well, in Alaska, we have the authority to recover our full fees, so we want to put that into the pot when you decide how much money we're going to be awarded. Right now, we can't make that claim. We have to say, well, we don't have authority for full fees. We're limited by our Rule 82, and I think I want to defend it, consider that.
When you're bargaining settlements, you're covered by Rule 82?
Well, we're...
Why?
It's like knowing where the sidelines are.
It's
in this particular jurisdiction, when you're in a settlement room, are you, in San Francisco, with Bank of America, getting $50 million bucks back.
Get the sharp pencils at Bank of America know
about
Rule 82.
Representative Berkowitz, you had a question?
Ms. Sniffen, on... Line 13, it says the state shall be awarded full attorney's fees. How would you feel about changing shall to may?
That would be fine.
For the question of Mr. Sniffen, I would like to go back and Representative Berkowitz asked, and I would, to Mr. Gara and anyone else that would have, could provide, actually what I'd like to do is ask, Mr. Gara, are you still there, sir?
Yes, I am, sir.
If you could provide the committee with any written documentation, we have a really thin bill package here. We have no supporting documentation other than your verbal testimony. Was there a report done by that conference or that you mentioned? Or?
No, we didn't do a report from the conference, Mr. Chairman. I could give you two examples of cases that I know from my own practice of people who decided not to pursue very valid consumer claims, an elderly woman in one case, and a case where somebody was defrauded by an insurance company in another, and I could discuss that in about 3 or 4 minutes if you wouldn't mind.
We're running out of time a little bit, so I don't want to put any burden on you, but if you could do like a one-page thing and get it down to the committee real briefly, and anybody else in the audience or overhearing this, if they could provide the committee with some practical examples about how the five-year-old law is not working and why we should fix it, I'd appreciate it. Yes, who's?
Mr. Kahn, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yes, sir.
I want to stress here, given the testimony by the representative of the Chamber of Commerce, that it's not just middle-class retired people and elderly who we hear from and try to send some direction. I hear from small entrepreneurs all the time that who are getting disabused by bigger businesses like banks and insurance companies or suppliers. I'm talking about web servers, the owner of a small business, a locksmith, a guy who fixes bedroom machines. I mean, these are the small business people that the chamber suggests would not benefit from this law, and that is entirely false as they come up against big operators. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Connor, are you suggesting that commercial operators should take advantage of this on commercial transactions? Well, Steve, if you hear an instance of that, please let us know. But I haven't heard any small business people clamoring to the legislature for that kind of relief. Representative Berkowitz.
I thought he just gave several instances.
But he didn't give the cases. Are they?
Steve, are those cases that you've worked with?
Those were people who called and we moved on. We are not like BBB. We do not process cases. But I try to get people, you know, when they say they've called A, B, and C lawyers about this, and I can see what their problem is, a combination of the fees and the small case. I try to come up with C, D, and F lawyers and bounce them around and or encourage them to bring the action to themselves. But then we go through the same song and dance of how much liability does that open them up to? Because all they got to do is lose one case, and they're no longer a small business person. Some of these are sole proprietorships. They're not even protected under any corporation.
Very good. Anything else? Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll hold this bill over and we'll hold public testimony open. With that, we're going to adjourn at 3:05. Thank you.